staff of Santa Cruz City Schools, and just personally, as a new superintendent and as a growing superintendent, have just appreciated your constant support, reaching out, responsiveness, listening, helping us think through, and the, you know, most recently, there's so many things, Michael, but most recently, the Bayside work that helping our county articulate academics, math, science, and all, so many, in so many ways.
Thank you.
Well, I do want to thank the board for this recognition. A bit different sitting back over here. You know, sitting right there for a few more months. Anyway, I want to also recognize my wife, who was a teacher at Santa Cruz High School and Harbor High School for many years before she went to the new teacher center. So, Ann, I want to thank you. I have 41 years who helped me along my path. The journey is in the B County Superintendent, so thank you for doing that. A partner in crime. But anyway, it's been a pleasure, you know, partnering with Santa Cruz City Schools on most occasions. How's that? Not on most occasions, I'm kidding. Uh-huh. But I was at Harbor High School last week in the biotech class. But it was indicative, and Jeremy was there too. It's indicative of the partnership with the county office and the city schools. Because we were there, it was a debate class, and we were there sort of doing the evaluation and judging of the debate, but it's a partnership. You know, the teacher works for you, she works for me, we share resources, and I think that's the key to success in this county. The more we can share resources and partner, the better off we'll be, and I will continue to do that in my remaining few months as best I possibly can. And like Chris was saying, my goal has been to really support all students from Boulder Creek to the Pawhorn River over there. And I think in my 38 years here, that's a lot of time, it's like 38 years. And people ask me, how did you stay in one place for 38 years? It's been a great place to work. And I've had a lot of good partners along the way. So, and I love what I do. I would stay longer, but I sort of believe in term limits and so forth, and my wife probably wants me to quit too. But it's time. It's just time for someone else to take the reins. I think I've done what I can do for this county in special ed, alternative education, and now as superintendent. And like I said, I love every day that I come to work in this office here or the office on Bay Avenue. So, hey, but I also appreciate this award. So thank you, Chris. Thank you, board. Look forward to working with you for the next few months. And I've been mentoring my successor, Dr. Sabah, and hopefully the partnerships will continue to be successful as well in the future. Again, my clout will diminish as we move forward, but I think I've had enough time to work with him, and if he were here, I would say the same thing, to mentor him, to say, you know, so he can carry on whatever positive legacy we've developed thus far, what changes he sees that could be better, he can do that as well. Hey, so thank you. I'll get back up to my office upstairs, but you're all welcome here at the county office, but I do appreciate this award. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Our next, do we have any agenda changes, additions, or deletions?
Madam President, I just wanted to point out that you all have a revised agenda
yes.
in your place, and there were some very minor changes that were made. One item was moved to the proper place on the agenda. It
okay.
was actually listed in an incorrect place, so it was moved, and the agenda does say exactly what happened to each item, and the other item were some date changes. So
thank you, but
I wanted to do it.
Thank you. Any other comments about or changes? Okay. Okay, time for public comments. Anybody have something they would like to say about items that are not on the agenda?
Good evening, everyone.
My name is Dawn Baxter, and I have a letter I'd like to read and then also submit to you. There are a number of us here tonight to talk about the Spanish class that's not being offered at Mission Hill or currently is not being offered at Mission Hill. So I'm here as a parent, and I'm writing as a parent of two Santa Cruz City School students, and the theme of my comments center around the ideas of can we do this, and what are the benefits for students and our community. Santa Cruz is often described as a small town with big city issues, but most of us that live here have made a commitment to do what we can to improve our small town, commit to the idea of community, and support our children and their schools. Schools today have an enormous job. I know, I work at one. Education is the number one priority in our house, besides family wellness. Education supports all students to reach their goals, explore interesting ideas and courses of study. The option to take Spanish as an eighth grader at Mission Hill is something that many students look forward to starting in elementary school. My girls have talked about it since fifth grade. While there are limited opportunities to participate in bilingual education in Santa Cruz City Schools, many of us made a deliberate choice to attend our neighborhood schools to get to know our neighborhoods, to support the school that is down the street, knowing that in eighth grade that our students would have the opportunity to take a rigorous Spanish class, which would start the process of learning another language. I am asking the board, Santa Cruz City Schools, and Mission Hill to fund the Spanish elective class. Students and parents have been told that this cut is due to declining enrollment and other factors. There was never a conversation regarding the importance and popularity of the Spanish as an elective choice. If Santa Cruz City Schools wants to continue to create an engaging learning environment, then Spanish and other rigorous classes need to be offered in a variety of subject areas. Thank you for listening. I just wanted to point out that more than 10 million people in the state of California speak Spanish at home. I also wanted to point out that 210 minutes of instruction time are spent in one individual class. Many eighth grade students are talking about being a PE aide or office aide in place of taking a Spanish class. And we also have heard from many parents and students that they feel a great sense of loss that this class is not being offered next year.
Hello. Dawn, do you want to do the
board? I can do it at the end, too.
The tie that binds each of us to this meeting tonight is the fact that we all care deeply about our kids' education. We want to do everything we can to support their future endeavors. My name is Marcy Plow, and I wrote a letter that was received by each of the board members and the assistant principal and principal at Mission Hill. I have the support of over 70 parents at Mission Hill who also feel strongly that Spanish is a huge part of building our kids' educational foundation. As a parent of a student at Santa Cruz High, I can tell you for a fact that having Spanish as an eighth grader really helped give him the edge and flexibility he needed in preparing his schedule of classes. Most CSUs and UCs now require a minimum of 3 years, sometimes four, of a foreign language to get into their programs. And the opportunity to take Spanish 1 as an eighth grader really helps give our kids a huge head start in meeting those college requirements. Now, my son is only a freshman, but I know from talking to parents of older classmates that are going through the college application process that it is competitive. There are kids I know that have great GPA, great test scores, have been taking AP classes, and they're still having a really hard time getting into colleges in our very own state. Now, I know, and we all realize, that college is not the path for each and every one of our kids, but we need to support those of kids that it is their path. And we are asking the board to do everything you possibly can in your power to give our eighth graders, next year's eighth graders, the opportunity to take Spanish at Mission Hill. Please help us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Susan Verducci Sanford, and I am a parent of a seventh grader at Mission Hill and also a member of the Happy Valley Elementary School Board. And I am here to also ask you to help us return Spanish to Mission Hill. And in addition to the wonderful arguments that Marcy has made in this letter, I wanted to piggyback on that and to mention something additional to that. And I am, you know, being on the school board, I recognize that some decisions get made because of fiscal reasons or reasons of efficiency, but oftentimes what gets lost is the principal reason to keep programs in our schools. And I think that something that is missing in the conversation about this class is the public purposes of public education. Part of what we do in schools is to educate future citizens who seek to understand each other's experience and beliefs so as to be able to dialogue across difference. Language is a cultural marker and it's a constructor of culture, and it is one way in which we can access other people's experience. And we insist upon all students studying English, but we do not insist upon all students studying a foreign language, especially Spanish, despite the fact that over half of the public school students in California identify as Hispanic. That's 3 million out of 6 million students are Hispanic. So the idea that we could let an elective course go seems not to align with the sorts of purposes that we have in public education, especially regarding the education of citizens. So in addition to the other women who have spoken, I would like to beseech the board to help us to return Spanish to Mission Hill. Thanks for listening.
Hi again. I came last time. I realized I didn't formally introduce myself, figuring that most of you knew me. My name is Juliana Perry, and as you know, I am a teacher at Herbert High. I teach Spanish, and I am also a parent of two children that attend both Bayview and Mission Hill. I was thinking back to what I talked about last time. I don't want to repeat everything, and I thought, I'm sure all of you know all these things. There's nothing new about the importance of knowing Spanish, of being bilingual, and that providing that bilingual education to students is all part of our vision of creating a supporting a learning environment that challenges and enables students to achieve their highest potential, which is part of Santa Cruz City Schools. I know you know that, and I know that you know that knowing Spanish, in part for careers, is super important, that most students need to know Spanish or have that language ability. I think most of the Santa Cruz City School job requests have bilingual required or recommended or wanted. And it's something special, and you know that. And I know that Santa Cruz City Schools prides itself on having competitive programs, offering programs that attract all students, that are accessible to all students. And when we sit here and talk about Spanish, some of the things I don't think are aware is that it's not just another class. Spanish, as long as I taught it, it's not like teaching history, and I've taught that, or PE, or math. You're asking young folks, in this case you're asking teenagers, now pushing to 14 and 15 years old, to pronounce words that sound funny, to understand words that sound funny, and have them feel successful. I can't tell you how important it is earlier. And I don't have citing of studies, because I know you probably know that. So yeah, pushing a year is enough. An enrichment class after school for a couple hours doesn't have the same credibility in the eyes of a student. Students see after school as after school. This is academics. Spanish is a real class. And to dismantle this class is dismantling the program. I have here a listing. I don't think you know there are over 50 students that want this class. They were never asked. We were told in an email that the class was no longer. And then they went and worked with their counselors for a choice. So I have 50 kids here who signed and said, no, we want this, plus the families that are backing them. And the other thing I warn you, there are Spanish teachers out there. I know we seem few and far between, and it's daunting to find one. But I have at least two students that came through Harbor High as my students that are majored in Spanish and are subbing in our district as bilingual teachers and Spanish teachers. So we're there. Don't give up. So please, we need the funding. Thank you.
Hello, good evening. My name is Carla C. Kim, and I am here tonight because of an incident that happened at SoCal High School to my son. And not only do we not want this to ever happen to my son, we don't want this ever to happen to any child. So I'm here tonight with my family, my husband, my son, and my daughter. We have reached out to the district office and have never been so disappointed in a lack of response. Not only in the communication and lack of, but also the inability to point us to the proper procedures and policies that would have protected my son. So either they don't exist, or the district office is unwilling to address the matter appropriately. My family, my son especially, is devoted to make sure this doesn't happen to another child. You're in the process of working on a detailed letter to the board. We have researched state and federal regulations, and we have found that what happened to him is in violation of those regulations. We have asked for cooperation from the district. The district has not cooperated with us. We ask for your help. You will be getting communication from us. Wanted you to know who I am, who my family is, who my son is. And we ask that you take it seriously and that we could perhaps work collaboratively and protect the students. Thank you.
Carla, I'd like to note that I know that we've offered to meet with you and your child and present the MOU that is about how student teaching works and all those things. So I know that we're in process and we can't necessarily return an email or a response within an hour or two because we're in meetings all day. But I just know that we've heard you. We do care. It is important to us. And I know Molly's offered to meet with you and your family. And we're
First of all, I thought I had the opportunity to speak tonight without comment because what you're saying is not accurate. So maybe you're saying that you do care because I'm here. Because I sent an email earlier this afternoon saying I've talked to the state and I've talked to the federal government. So I would appreciate your cooperation. We asked Molly for information. She refused to provide it to us. We asked for that information so our son could come to the meeting and be prepared. She didn't provide that to us. So if you're willing to help us and coordinate and collaborate, we're open to that.
And I'm saying we're willing to do that. So
okay.
We're
great. Thank you.
Are there any other people who would like to speak tonight? Okay. We're going on to the superintendent's report.
Busy couple weeks. Continuing to do our work on multi-tiered systems of support, more retreat follow-up, LCAP budget development aligned to stakeholder input in the MTSS retreat collaborations. We've had a lot of meeting and follow-up regarding that. Costa Nova High School had their WASC visiting committee visit. This last week, both Harbor High School and Costa Nova had positive initial responses from those visiting teams. It'll be a while before we actually get their terms. We had the S4C Cabrillo College fourth grade visit, and it's always an incredible endeavor to get all of the fourth graders in the county to a visit to Cabrillo College in one day, and also a wonderful experience for our kids. Was able to attend a visit supported by the county office as a part of our differentiated assistance plan to San Luis Coastal Unified last week with 14 of our educators on our team, teachers, coaches, school leaders, to look at how they're providing services and support to English learners. We also saw some really great practices around co-teaching at the high school, that it was a wonderful opportunity for us to go and learn from a district that has very similar demographics to us. It was a quick trip, but we were able to see three different schools by splitting up, and we talked to a lot of different educators there and learn about what they're doing. Also had our first differentiated assistance meeting with the County Office of Education, and what that looked like was a 3-hour coordinated data dive, and just walking through our data with some outside eyes to see if they saw things differently than we did. I want to commend Frank's team for putting together the data for that study session. Goal number 4, some exciting things happened in March. On St. Patrick's Day, we had our first ever employee recruitment fair and had a wonderful turnout. And Molly and her team worked with our school leaders, and they've been doing interviews ever since. Lots of follow-up with interested candidates. We were thrilled to have several math candidates, candidates from lots of special education candidates in hard-to-fill areas that were hearing good things about our district and wanted to come see us. We had people come from as far away as Arizona for our fair, and several folks from down in Southern California after hearing about our program. So our HR team did wonderful outreach, and we had some great candidates show up that day. We also had a fabulous day yesterday, and I want to thank Casey and Molly for planning our first PAL meeting, Partnership for Administration and Labor. This is part of our ongoing work is along the principles of the California Labor Management Initiative. And all the building reps and all the principals attended, and we talked about our collaboration, what's working, how we can work to improve it, what the best practices are, and what the research is about how that kind of professional collaboration has a positive impact on student achievement. So just some photos from that day to share. I realized when I got home that I didn't have any pictures of Molly or Casey presenting, which was a mistake. I'll have to make sure that I do better next time. Also, had a couple of sessions with our CECRA Operations Council. We're evaluating the changes to the AB 602 funding model that we instituted last year. We had some guiding principles for that work. This is a photo of that team minus we've added. It's CBOs, special ed directors, and superintendents. This year we added the superintendent for Soquel. Scott has joined us, Scott Trimble, and Shar Marr from the director of special education from Scotts Valley. But we're representative of all of those groups across the North County SELPA, and looking at, it's hard for special education costs to be predictable, but looking at ways to make it as fair and equitable as we can across the SELPA. The other things that have gone on in terms of work in the community, we had our annual Chamber of Commerce Business Fair. I want to thank Pat and his team for coordinating our table and the events. We highlighted our CTE programs. I also want to thank Sherry Williams, who got us a lot of materials to share, photos for that event. Had our first neighborhood advisory committee about employee housing. I want to thank David Terrazas, our mayor, for helping me. He lives in the neighborhood, gathers some neighbors who are community leaders to give us some input on the things they want us to be considering as we're doing our feasibility study. Had our groundbreaking ceremony at Harbor High School on Friday. Super exciting to finally, see some dirt flying as a part of our bond work. Had an opportunity to, Molly and I were invited to visit the Women's Equality Club at Santa Cruz High School on Monday, and they had some requests for us to explore feminine product access for the young women in our schools. So I put some questions out to our facilities team to see how we might make that available. And I want to congratulate Trustee Deb Tracy Fu, who we just found out prior to this board meeting that she's been reelected as a CSEA delegate. So that is my report for this evening.
Thank you. Student report?
Last week we were actually kind of busy. We had our Spring Spirit Week, our Spring Pep Rally, and our Spring Fling Dance, and our groundbreaking ceremony. During those as well, same day, which were all very successful. Now we're just wrapping that up and preparing for our fall, which is in May, and getting all that and graduation and ordering things together.
Thank you. Deb?
Thank the board for supporting me for my election for this day. I'm very excited to continue that service. I was in Sacramento twice this month, once for the Legislative Day of Action, and I joined colleagues from San Lorenzo Valley and SoCal Unified and meeting with Senator Manning and Assemblyman Mark Stone to lobby for school funding and all kinds of other fun stuff. They're very receptive, of course, we're fortunate, but I was reminded when I was in the Capitol with many other members from across the state that we are lucky to have those representatives, and not everyone is supportive of education as our representatives. And then I was also there back the following Friday for the annual conference planning committee. So some exciting things happening in the annual conference, and happy to say that we will be addressing more LGBTQ issues and the strands that are offered in the workshops that are offered, and so I've been working closely with the leadership on that. And also the groundbreaking was really fun, and it was exciting, and I know the staff worked really hard, so it was nice, and the rally was great, so it was a little bit of minor steam palm. So anyway, that's where it's work.
Cindy?
I'd just like to briefly highlight an item that's on the consent agenda, but just to applaud and encourage what it represents. It says in there that the Bayview Elementary staff is going to go to a professional development opportunity in Columbia University pending approval of that item. And I just know that reader's workshop model that they'll be all studying, I just want to applaud and encourage that effort in getting more staff exposed to and trained in that. And my understanding from the superintendent is that also some Westlake staff has been trained in exploring that. But in my experience as an educator and also as a grandparent, I've really seen amazing things from that model. It really accelerates students' reading comprehension, which is the core of what kids need to do early on so that they can read to learn, as opposed to just learning to read. And just one footnote to that, it does require a lot of differentiated instruction, which then relies on differentiated reading materials. So just hopefully, as staff goes to this wonderful training opportunity, that if they come back and want to adopt that kind of model, that they'd be given the supplies that would be needed immediately for the youngsters to have the reading materials at the appropriate level. But again, just applauding and encouraging that endeavor. Very impressive. Thank you.
I also attended the groundbreaking ceremony at Harbor, and we all stood on a very squishy field, which is very appropriate. That field has been squishy for a long time, many, many years, right? It's very exciting to have our first groundbreaking and to see our bond money starting to take action, and looking forward to the transformations across all our campuses.
Spring is here, and I have the opportunity to go to the Santa Cruz SoCal baseball team. Always a spirited matchup out there at Santa Cruz High. They have quite a team this year, a lot of fun. It was a sunny day in the midst of all the rain, and there were more than 60 adults out there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and some who work within the district who have students on the team, so that was pretty exciting to see, and not on the team that I am more familiar with, so that was really great. I also wanted to again thank Michael Watkins for the collaborative effort that the COE has had with Santa Cruz City Schools since I've been on the board. I've been very appreciative of it, and I'm very excited for Dr. Sabah to not have to run a campaign and be able to settle in and continue with the collaboration that will, as Michael put it, use the shared resources that Deb was alluding to in the state of California that we so desperately need. So thank you.
I have nothing to report tonight.
Okay. I attended the Delta board meeting, and we reviewed and approved the school safety plan and a revised dress code. And this dress code was brought to get by staff and students. They created this dress code. I was really impressed with the process that they went through. It was a lengthy process, and I was impressed with the dress code. They were very thoughtful and included everyone's perspective and concerns and comfort levels. It was really... And they are getting ready for their 25th anniversary. It'll be next February. Went to the partnership administration and labor meeting yesterday, and I was very impressed. I thought, I didn't know that we have data that shows how this kind of collaboration affects students' learning, and I was really pleased to hear that and to see that our team's working so hard. And I want to thank Molly and Casey. I mean, they modeled collaboration, working together to present that meeting. So thank you for that, too. Next item is approval of the minutes, and we'll start with the minutes for February 28th.
Move for approval.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor of student recommendation?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? And now the minutes of March 7th.
Move approval.
Second.
Student?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Abstained? No. Our consent agenda is next. Do you have any comments?
Not that it needs to be pulled. I'm not sure how it will have to go, but 8.1.10.5, I need to recuse myself from that contract. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll...
I'm sorry, what was the number?
8.1.10.5.
Thank you so much.
So we'll pull that and vote on it separately. Okay. And Jeremy.
I need to pull for discussion 8.1.10.3, 8.1.10.10, 8.1.10.12, and 8.1.10.13.
No.
10.13.
We have
new agendas, Jeremy. I think that item
might have
been moved.
Yeah.
Which one is it? To look at your revised agenda version.
Look at the agenda that has the highlights.
Are you talking about the Kleinfelder sign?
Brunson 40 roofing replacement. The Garland company. I don't know. It's 12.
Oh. Are you talking about the Kleinfelder testing and inspection for the sign at SoCal?
No.
Andy's roofing?
Because I don't have a separate agenda, I have these two pieces.
I gave everybody a revised agenda.
Right.
Everybody got one.
Oh, I know where
So it's the Brand Supporty Middle School Roofing Replacement Materials.
Brand Supporty Middle School Roofing Replacement Materials.
Yeah.
So that was
8.1.10.12? 13. There's two of them. And he's calling both of them.
Oh, 11 and 12. Now.
Yeah.
So now they're 11 and 12.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
That's 11 and 12.
10, 11, and 12. Okay.
Okay, let me make sure then that I've got this right. So
8,
11, and 12.
It's 10, 11, and
12. 10, 11. He pulled 10 also.
And
is
9?
That true? No.
3, 10, 11, and 12. Correct. And then also, just for voting purposes, 5.
And then I would like to pull 8.1.10.9, the roofing and solar construction.
Okay.
So we're 9, 10, 11, and 12 to keep my
3, 5, 9, 10, 11, and 12.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any discussion on the other items on the consent agenda? Comments or questions?
Move approval.
Second.
Who will Deb?
And student?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
So those will all get moved to here.
Okay. All right. Our next item is a report of closed session actions. Dee Dee?
The Board of Trustees took action on certificated classified and management leaves, retirements, resignations, and appointments. There were no updates for the Board of Trustees regarding public employee discipline, dismissal, release, or complaints. The Board of Trustees heard information and discussed labor negotiations with the SCCCE for 2017-18. And the Board of Trustees heard information and discussed public employee performance evaluation.
Okay, thank you. Okay, our next item would be the committee report bond oversight.
Yes. Thank you, Bill Tyson and Colleen Harrison, still here from the bond oversight committee, and that they're just going to share with you a brief report this evening. It's in your board packet. So thanks to both of you.
You ready for this?
Sure.
All right. I'm Bill Tysling. I was elected chair of this committee. I think it'll be very impressed with this committee. I was impressed. These are people that had a fair amount of experience and a range of interests that would be relevant to this. We have met several times. We have gone over the original measures requirements. We have met with the auditor, representative of the auditors, and gone through the auditor's report. We've gone through the accounting from the district in some detail on both measures. We did adopt a resolution at our last meeting to recommend adoption of this report and to affirm our willingness to stand behind it. If you have other questions, I'm happy to respond. I understand that there's an edit that needs to be made.
Understand that there's an edit to be made in this? Yes, there is. On the cover sheet, there's a December 11th date of 2017. One of the meeting dates was actually December 14th. So we can bring that back to the Oversight Committee and make that simple amendment for them to acknowledge.
All right.
Okay. Jeremy?
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate the report. So there's interesting language in your charter, so to speak. And given the fact that it's necessary, perhaps, due to well over $300 million in need and just a $210 million bond, given that fact, it may be necessary for Santa Cruz City Schools to go back to the public. So I raise this question then in lieu of that very simple fact. What the language, which I don't have in front of me, also allows you to make sure, in simple terms, we're getting the best bang for our buck, that the money we're spending is... you're allowed to look at things to make sure that we're spending our money and getting the best value. I believe those are the words of the charter. And I'm wondering whether your committee, besides looking at the fact that we're spending the money in ways that we're supposed to be spending the money, and we know we're good there, will once a quarter or once every half a year or whatever, take just one little item, almost pick it randomly, and spend a few hours looking at it so that we can hear from you in terms of your take. Not that I'm raising any questions that the bond isn't being spent in that way, but I think it would be a further safeguard, if you will, for the public. That's a fairly long-winded question, so I'm wondering if you're looking at things in that light as well, because I see these illustrious names, and I think that the public, not knowing not only that we're spending the bond on things we told them we'll be spending it on, but that we're spending that money prudently and trying to get as much as we can out of it from your committee. I think the public will appreciate that. Any comments on that, or what's your take on that? Thank you.
Well, I would throw most of that over to staff as to the processes that they would use, but let me say that we do see ourselves as an audit committee, and we don't really look at the contracting that's done in advance. We look at the expenditure of funds to be sure that they are consistent with the requirements of the majors and with the state law. And beyond that, it would require us to essentially change the point at which we are in contact with the expenditures, and I'm not sure that we're tooled up to do that. Chris or Patrick may have some thoughts about how that would work.
It's not that I understand to be the purpose of the Bond Oversight Committee. The purpose of the Bond Oversight Committee is to verify that we're spending the dollars in accordance with the bond language.
Okay.
And to the extent that I can give you comfort, if we find any egregious errors in that, we will certainly raise our hands.
I'm not looking for that.
Patty's next.
Thank you, Bill, for stepping up. And just appreciative. You know, this is an independent committee, as it should be. And so when I hear you say, my question would be, has there been any availability to independent training for the Oversight Committee members? So when you say that you defer to the district, I know that I believe there's availability, that there is training so that there can be questions further, so that you can be also a liaison to the community that we need, because the community will be asking further questions. Accounting firms can do the accounting, but there is more to be offered. So I'm wondering if any of the members are interested in any independent training for the Bond Oversight Committee. And has it been made available to you?
Well, we've certainly been trained, and will continue to be trained in terms of the processes. So when the representative from the auditing firm comes, we go through some detail with her as to the processes that they use and that what we are expected to do in reviewing that. When we have met with staff, we've gone through the financials. We ask some pretty detailed questions about that and review that. If you're asking if there's a curriculum for being on this committee, I suspect there isn't, per se. But if there was some particular interest in preparing us to do the task as it's been set out, I think that the committee would be very receptive to do it.
We did provide the committee with links to the independent organization that Patty suggested at our orientation and gave them links and resources to those trainings and other opportunities if they chose to pursue them, and we did provide that at our first orientation.
Okay. Patty, let me respond partly with the expertise of people in that room. We have people that work in construction, and they know exactly how those things are to be bid, and how those bids are to be competitive, and how they're to be processed, and how the accounting processes are going to go as there are expenditures made, requests for payment. So, and we have people on the committee who have been in the schools and are looking specifically at are we getting what we expected to get in terms of the facilities, for instance, the field, the whatever. So we have a fair amount of expertise internally in the inside of the committee. And again, if there are things that you think we ought to be developing skills in, then we're certainly happy to refer that back to staff and ask them to bring that to us. I'm a little bit at a loss to know exactly what it is I don't know, which is the first major of my meeting, something, I suppose.
I appreciate it. It's not to grill you. I just know that there's opportunities. When I've spoken to other people who have been part of not this particular district, the bond oversight committees, they felt the charge was we were given the numbers, more of an accounting firm. And yes, that is the task at hand, but as I understand it, there is the availability through the California League of Oversight committee members. They have a association that gets together that helps for best practice. And I think that people in retrospect had said, you know, I would have liked to have known if there was anything more that I could have done. I'm always liking to leave that open. I'm curious by nature. So I just wanted to make sure that the oversight committee knew that there were avenues available, and if they'd like to be part of that, then, you know, if the board so would like, and the district has provided, as Ms. Monroe said, that they're out there.
Thank you. Any other questions? Sheila?
Yeah, I have a simple question, I think. I was interested when you said that you have a lot of people on there who have a lot of expertise, and I'm glad to hear that. If something came up that they were concerned about that wasn't simply did we spend the money as we said we were spending it, is that something that they'd be likely to bring to us?
Well, I think that you would see the bruises on Patrick and Chris before we actually came to you.
Right, right.
We've been pretty tough on them, actually, in responding to things, asking about what we didn't know and what we wanted greater clarity about. And to everyone's satisfaction on the audit committee, we got answers to those questions. Certainly, if there was something that we continue to feel fuzzy about, I'd show up here.
Well, that's what I was hoping for, and I think the appropriate place is to them. But I just wanted to make sure that they knew that with all that expertise, we'd be happy to hear it.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you for coming. Okay. Our next item is staff report. Yes, we have Neil Sellers from Artis Architectures, and we have an update on the bond budget and expenditures. These are expenditures through, I believe, February of 2018. So up to date reconciliation expenditures to date, and it breaks it down. Common format for both the elementary and the secondary district, and then a common format for each of the individual sites, expenditures associated with the sites, and also we built in here a pie chart too, so you'll see an ongoing recap of expenditure percentages relative to that budget. So thank you for this part. So great. Neil Sellers from Arts Architecture.
So tonight is an update on the presentation that Mark gave to you guys in December, and this is the second update to those budgets and expenditures. So the information you're going to see on the screen is information that you have in front of you. So I'm going to go through the format of that information and what changes have made since December. And I don't think I have a pointer or a clicker. So these animations aren't going to work, but this slide is laying out the budgets for each of the sites from Measure A, and you're also going to see the same thing from Measure B. So on the left-hand side, we have current budgets for each site, and Mark went through the history of how we got to these numbers initially and in the last presentation, and now we're going to show what the revised numbers are. So two things have changed since we presented to you last. The first is the cost of issuance. We found out what that number actually is. We had an estimate in there of 1.75%, and the cost of issuance has pretty much gone back to zero. Financial people were able to pay themselves without bond expenditures, so there was no expenditure for the cost of issuance.
Wow. That's nice. Yeah. Wow. Send that name.
So that money went back into the total and was divided up on the percentages that we presented to you last time. The other item that has changed since we presented are the COPs that were paid off, and these were two projects that were pre-bond expenses that were paid with bond funds. And it was a field project at Santa Cruz High School and so on. So you have initial budgets, the COPs being subtracted, then you have SFP monetization, developer fees, which are both estimated at this time.
And can you just mention SFP, what that acronym stands for?
Oh, yes, the school facilities program. So those are modernization funds that can be applied for based on population at the sites. So as we apply for that eligibility, those numbers will be updated, and they're also going to update the budgets at each site. Developer fees as well. So the current budget totals are on the far right. And as we go to the next slide, you can see that total budget number at the top of the slide, and then each slide is going to go per site.
Oh, sorry.
I think that's close enough.
Yeah, that's how we start that.
This is what we have. So on this slide, you have the current site resource, which is the budget at the top, it's right. And you have initiated projects at the site. And the initiated projects are projects that we've seen expenditures to the end of February for. And those expenditures are reported to the far right under expenditure. And then we have allocations or budgets which are coming from design teams at each site for those projects. So these are only initiated projects that we've seen expenditures for at Rent Authority. And there's one of these for each site, and I'll just quickly go to them. If you have questions, you can stop.
Okay, questions? Jeremy? Sheila?
I have two. I'll ask the first.
Thank you.
Yes. So, are you telling me that on a $200 million bond plus, we're saving 1.75% throughout, and therefore we can look to an additional $2 million more or less? Unexpected?
The assumed amount we had for the cost of issuance was 2.4 or something like that. And that cost was able to be offset by funds that were not part of bond expenses. So the money that we assumed to be spent on the cost of issuance wasn't actually spent and was divided back up into sites.
And so I have a quick follow-up on that. Where did those funds magically come from?
Yeah.
It's relative to how the bonds were sold, Jeremy, so that cost of issuance was relative to the bonds. And I can send you kind of a quick recap of that discussion from bond council of how they actually financed that. So those cost of issuance, although there is a cost of issuance, the way that the bonds are financed, those costs were absorbed within the overall financing of the bonds. So they weren't dollars that came off the top, which is what we showed you initially. Mm-hmm. Those are rather costs were woven into the overall financing of the bond itself. And I can send you a quick recap and a description of that too from Mark Farrell, who's a bond.
Please, because that's sure. A little fuzzy.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, Sheila.
I just need to ask a question. I think I didn't quite hear you well enough, but or maybe I just forgot about it. The SFP modernization, is that the money that we applied for? But you're not saying we have it. You're saying we estimate it?
Yeah, maybe that's this. So right now, we are reporting numbers that were provided to you in the master plan, and those numbers came from years research about the district, and those numbers can be updated as we apply to the state for eligibility at this site.
So they might go down or they might go up.
Exactly.
We don't know yet.
Based on the current population. Okay. So if you apply at a population, it goes down next year. If you apply again, it could go down.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And I did, Pat. I'm still lost.
I'm going to send you all.
If it's absorbed into the bond, why isn't it still coming out somewhere?
it's relative to the actual bond financing itself. So there actually is a cost associated with it, but relative to how it's financed, that cost is absorbed within the financing itself. And it's a little detailed, so I can send you, I think the best thing for me is send you a recap of how that mechanism worked to show how that financing in the center was absorbed. That's kind of a layman's description of how that was absorbed, but I can send you all kind of a detailed description of that.
Okay, thank you.
So you'll be sending it to all of our...
I will. I'll send it out this evening. I'm looking at my email right now to see if I can read it to you, but if I do, I'll share it with you, but I'll send you all a...
You notice how nervous we are about good news.
Yeah.
I'm used to that.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Go ahead, Jeremy.
Right. There's a discrepancy here. If you look at Harbor High School, we see track field improvements allocation $11 million, and above that we see pool replacement $7 million. But then if we see the Harbor High School master plan, pool replacement comes in at $4.5 million. And this board hasn't made any final decision on that.
Yeah, so I know that you've all seen some real numbers for these projects and know about what they are going to cost.
So that's our first real number, if it's a real number.
Right, so these numbers came from the design team at Harbor High School, and those are current numbers as of the last month of what they think the project should cost and what has been spent.
Okay.
Patty?
And Jared, just to repeat this in another way, what Neil has said too, and Trevor helped me recall the numbers, but when we brought back an addendum to the board from Bell Eye, there was an anticipated cost at that point in time.
Correct.
So this revised number is...
Anticipated is the key word here.
This is the latest anticipated cost relative to the budget we're working from current. So what the action the board has taken is action on Bell Eye's contract for services relative to this particular pool. And that addendum of, I think at that time, Trevor, I think the cost estimated was at 5.6, somewhere in that vicinity?
I believe that would be correct.
Okay. And so if that was anticipated construction cost of 5.6, and using some simple back the envelope numbers just for discussion's sake, 20% of 5.6 is another $1.2 million. If you add 1.2 to the 5.6 that's there, you're at 6.8, so this is around 7.1. Sorry. So just again, this is relative to the allocation. You have not acted on this as of yet. Those will be coming to the board at the next board meeting. We're working with the leaseback contractor on what those costs will be.
And we're waiting on
DSA. That's right. But again, this is relative to the budget we're working on, and to show the expenditures we've incurred relative to a budget. And this is the budget that is fluctuating somewhat. But again, that's just a reminder of some of the steps and some of the actions you've taken, and then the current revised number of what they're suggesting is going to be. And this is a number that's being discussed currently. This is to show you, relative to an allocation, what the expenditures we've incurred to date are.
Patty, did you have?
I do. I'm looking at the pre-bond. I'm sorry, I don't have my super magnifiers on there. Expenses, and I remember the board definitely speaking to the fields and the cost of rolling in. But I thought we had a conversation that the Brand Supporting Middle School field was also, that we had debt on both that and the Harbor High baseball field. Where did those... How were those expenses paid? Didn't the board have a conversation regarding that?
So we don't have a COP on the Harbor High School field. There isn't. And the COP we discussed on Brand Supporting Middle
COP,
School.
What is COP?
The Certificate of Participation that we paid off. The COP at the Brand Supporting field, we found we'd have a penalty. If we paid it off, we'd end up paying more than if we paid it off versus not.
Okay.
And we knew going in when Jimmy did the certificates of participation for both Santa Cruz and Soquel, we did those telling the board if we passed the bond, these would be the first things we paid off.
So then the question is, how was the Harbor High baseball field paid?
That's, Trevor, do you recall? I thought there was, I don't recall there being outstanding debt on that, Patty. I recall there was a couple other things that the superintendent said. There was debt outstanding on the D40 middle school field, Santa Cruz Harbor, Santa Cruz Soquel, and then the other debt we've talked about as well. But in terms of the baseball field, I don't recall that, Pat. I can research it. I don't recall.
Okay. And so do we, and I'm sorry, when you were explaining the Brand Supporting field, do we still carry the debt because it was penalized if we paid it off? It was going to cost us more to pay it off. So
right.
That will be just...
Over time.
From a different fund. Okay, thank you. I just needed to know that.
Okay, any other? Oh, Sheila?
I just want to comment that I find these slides very helpful, very clear. So, and I like being able to see the relationship between what we're paying and what we've done so far. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Keep this format for the next time we come back.
Thank you.
Katie?
Oh,
I just have a quick question on the Harbor High School. I believe that some of the roofing is going to be worked on, and I'm just wondering where that's reflected in this list.
So the list is only projects that we've seen expenditures for. So
today.
We have a lot of things on the drawing
still
board,
more,
planning
yeah.
stage that are going to
okay.
come up in the future. And as soon as money is spent on those items.
So those recent expenses are
right.
post
Anything
this.
In the last month or so. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now we're going to go to the pooled items. The first one is 8.1.10.3, Waterproofing Associates Natural Bridges Roofing. Is that yours, Jeremy? Question?
Yes. So, the board is being asked to spend about $3.3 million this evening on roofing, and I just had some questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like, if you wouldn't mind, to sort of deal with them together.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, beginning with 8.1.10.3, we're looking at Natural Bridges Elementary, and it's 56,000 square feet. And we've got a bid for a little under 700,000. Then we go to Harbor High, and we've got 51,000 square feet. We've got a bid for a little under 1.3 million, or
almost twice that. And I understand that a roof is not a roof is not a roof. And then we've got B40 Middle School, 41,000 square feet, and a little bit more than $1 million. So I was hoping that Trevor, who I see in one of the front rows, could talk to me or the board or the public, given the fact that we're about to vote on $3.3 million worth of roofs. And I guess my question is, there seems to be quite a bit of a price range. And so how did that happen? Is that a natural thing? And why did, for example, the bid at Natural Bridges come in so low for so many thousands of square feet, and all of the others came in much higher, almost? Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. As you pointed out, a roof is not a roof is not a roof. So although we're using very similar materials at each site, when you look at Natural Bridges roof, it's one big circular roof with almost nothing on it, a little piece in the middle with some things on it, and another big circular piece with nothing on it, and another big circular piece with nothing on it, and a gym with almost nothing on it. So what costs the most is generally labor and materials, about 50-50, but labor is one of the big variables, whatever takes time. Now, when you go over to B40 roof, there is about a bazillion conduits and pipes and ducts and all kinds of things on that roof, which take labor time to cut around. So there's probably five times the labor hours. That may be an exaggeration, but there's a ton more labor hours in doing that roof because they have to do so much cutting and fitting and piecing and jigsaw puzzling, as opposed to just rolling it out, rolling the seams, rolling it out, rolling the seams. So that's probably 90% of the cost difference. The other is the timing of the bid, how many other bids are on the street with different districts in the area or business parks in the area. That affects the price of the bid based on availability of their labor and whether or not we've got the A team, B team, or they are down. So that's probably about a 10% factor.
Patty? Thank you, Trevor. So I see, in comparison to the B40 roofing project contract that comes forward and the Harbor High roofing contract, that there were these addendums we were given the first bid page as projected. And so they asked for a price per square foot for 2-inch plywood or something. I can give you the exact on this. Mm-hmm. And on one particular project, one contract is quoting $4 a square foot and the other is quoting $26 a square foot. And then in the secondary piece of that contract, they're quoting $9 a square foot to $54 a square foot. Can you help me understand, is this normal and why it would come in that way?
It shouldn't be normal.
And
you would think it would be simpler.
Well, and I... Okay, and so what flags does that raise to you?
So it could mean a number of different things. One of the things is that one company, the low price, they may have someone who's a specialist in doing that kind of work, and so they're very efficient at it. The other company may not have anyone. They have to get a sub to do that work. Or they may have to figure out how to do it themselves. It could just be they got lazy and just put a number down, because those numbers aren't being used to win or lose the bid. They're just numbers for us to reference. If we have this problem, this is what we might expect to pay. Does it mean we have to pay that? Absolutely not. But it's a way for us to also do budgeting. When we find an issue, we can sort of quickly go reference that number and go, well, we've got 100 feet of this pipe or material that we need, and they quoted us, well, that was a high number, and so we would ask for a revised quote and have them justify the quote at that point in time, the number of hours and the actual price of the material. But the goal is to help us use it as a budgeting tool. And unfortunately, I've used those numbers in the past collaboratively with other numbers to award bids, and it gets really, really complicated, and you end up with tons of bid protests and all kinds of shenanigans that go on, and it's easier just to have a base bid and then use that as budgeting, and then we verify it when they do a change order by having them validate their numbers and time and materials and backup for that.
So if I'm understanding what you've told me, is that those numbers provided on both are not necessarily part of the contract, that they, so they will not, neither neither side will hold those numbers? So neither of those sides will hold those numbers. So, for example, the person who, the contract that said $4 as opposed to the other, doesn't necessarily, can you hold them to those numbers?
Yes, we can hold them to those numbers. Like that, they're submitting that in their bid. So by accepting their bid, we are accepting those numbers. Now, we can always question numbers. Every time we do a change, every time there's something different, it's almost guaranteed it's not black and white. So immediately you can say, well, we want you to validate that number. Please show me the cost of the manufacturer. Obviously, there's markups involved. We understand that. And then show me your man hours and how are you going to go do that. Give us a schedule. Give us your manpower allocation. So we can do the math at that point and get pretty close. If we really like the numbers, because it's in their bid and they have signed a contract that this is their bid, we can just purely accept those numbers. Chances of those being like free work is fairly rare. The $4 one you referenced is probably the real price for somebody who's got a quality individual that does that particular kind of work. The company that stuck 23 in, my guess is they just didn't really give it any thought. They just ring the number in there because they're contractors and they do that sometimes.
Jeremy?
I noticed, of course, that we've got, I think it's four different bids for four different roofs. Would it have been legal, first of all, and would it have made any sense in terms of economy of scale and using the same quality of material to have asked everybody to bid all of them together?
We talked about that. Part of the issue is in scheduling. If we put the load all on one person, is the chances of them being able to perform the way we want them to really, really difficult to assess. Some may choose to take the opportunity to do that and then not perform so well, and basically we would struggle along, maybe not get in a lawsuit, but we would end up in this really contentious situation where they weren't done and then they'd get some done and we'd be playing this kind of arm wrestling game. So this is a lot of roofing work. And as you'll see, we have a lot of different winning bidders. And part of that has to do with schedule and their manpower allocations and obviously their risk assessment and also their other business, how much other roofing they're doing and for who and where. So as it turned out, we opted to just kind of do it in chunks. And as it showed up, we've got different bidders on each and every project.
Patty?
You brought something up, and part of the conversation I'd like to have with the board is that protests.
Mm-hmm.
So the board was emailed a protest in regards to the contract, but it wasn't actually the protester. We got the rebuttal from the winning, and then, of course, the protest. And so my question is this normal? Does this happen? Is this what you deal with quite often?
A fair bit. Particularly with single trade bidders, more than general contractors, although in years past I've had issues with that as well. This is a competitive business. The good news is the reason they're protesting is because they're fighting for it, and they're looking for every opportunity to win a project. You'll notice that each protester was the second place bidder. So they're obviously very comfortable with their number and willing to upset us, their potential client, by doing this in order to get the bid. As it turned out, these particular protests had no real value according to our legal counsel, so we move forward confidently. But it's not uncommon. I was telling Pat earlier today, years and years ago, at one of the other districts I worked for, we had about five plumbers that hated each other. Every single time we had a bid, these people would protest each other for some of the most bizarre reasons. Occasionally, one of them was right, but they get very competitive. It's their livelihood, and they're not afraid to speak up.
Okay. Jeremy and then Cindy.
Last question. Will these roofs be on the schools, do you think, by the start of the school year in 2018, September?
Yes.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your clear answers to our questions. Thank you very much. The one comment and question I had is, it was impressive to me that for each of these projects there were four or five bidders.
We have had great participation.
In the market that we're facing right now, that's really impressive. Could you tell us briefly how you managed to elicit so many bidders?
If I knew exactly what we were going to be selling it, that was one of the big issues we talked about at Cash in Sacramento in February. A lot of districts are struggling severely in getting contractors to come and play, so to speak. I don't really know why specifically, other than we try to be very clear in what we expect. We try to be very open in our expectations and what we want of them. We try to make it easy for them to bid our projects. We don't make the paperwork too complex. Mm-hmm. We've been rallying the bushes a lot. So, I don't truly know the answer to the question. I just like to think that they want to come work for us because we're good
great.
Folks. But that's probably
going forward, that'll be critical.
Mm-hmm. Sheila?
Okay, so I just want to make sure I understand. That the base bid versus the extras.
Mm-hmm.
My first thought when you were talking about it was that how could it do you any good if they just make it up out of the air? But if I understand correctly, they have to live with that bid, so they're not going to be too far off. But
they're not going to be too low. They might be too high, because if they get lucky and we get lazy,
and you're not checking,
and we say, yes, we want 100 square feet of that, and we just pay them whatever that agreed to price is, they make some really nice money. If we sort of hold them to the fire and go through the process of investigating and checking and looking at numbers, then it'll just be normal work as usual. But if we like that number and we accept it, there's a 99.9% chance they're comfortable with the number they gave or happy to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Did you have another question, Patty?
I did. So my final is more directed towards the board. I hear you say that it's not uncommon that you have these protests, and so we were given, since the recommendation comes and legal counsel had been sought after, I'm wondering the board's level of comfort of not knowing of these protests until it was brought up in such a manner. And it may be something that the board opts not to have to hear, that all are directed to you. But I think about it in not just these terms of this particular avenue, but anywhere within the district. What is our policy regarding someone writing a particular department but addressing the board in the letter? How would that get to us? I personally believe that I would like to see these things because I believe that the people sending them intend for the board to know, because our job is process, to say they feel that the process, whatever it is, and not necessarily just this avenue. This may have been the only time it happened, but I put it out there.
Could I?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I just, process-wise, I think it's what we should do, because in the event that you have an open session and one of the protesters shows up to your board meeting in public, you need to be apprised of it in advance. So moving forward, we'll make sure that those. So you, in this instance, there's two that came through. You saw one. There's a second one as well that surfaced. But we need to just make sure you're aware of those as those things occur. I think it's some communication from us, the superintendent, that she can share with all of you in advance of the board meeting. So that in the event that someone does come to the board meeting and it's more contentious, or it's these ones, our council was able to address immediately. It wasn't an in-depth conversation, but it's a little more controversial. Absolutely. If there's a judgment call that's involved, then you absolutely need to prize that. So I think crosswise, it's a very good comment to make, Patty, that we just need to make sure you're apprised of these things in the future.
Okay. Hey, do we...
Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Oh, well, wait a minute. Are we moving on all of them? Or
we have to do them one at a time because they're...
Then which one am I moving on?
On 8.1.10.3, the first one.
So moved. Move to approve.
Second?
Second.
Okay.
Yes.
Second?
Second.
Student recommendation?
Aye.
Roll call?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Okay, then next one is 8.1.10.5. That's the...
Refusal?
Yeah.
Sure, move the approval.
I'll second.
Student?
Aye.
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 Recuse.
Aye.
Aye. The next one is 8.1.10.9. Comments on that? Did you have something, Pat?
I just have a comment to say that I, you know, of all of those and what I read and then in the piece, I'm not comfortable with that contract, so I will be voting no.
Okay.
But thank you for the information and all the information provided. It helped lead me to where I am.
Okay. Is there any other comments or questions? Is there a motion?
I move approval. Second.
And
okay,
the second was D. Okay,
student?
Aye.
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 No.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Okay,
8.1.10.10.
So
moved.
I'll
second.
Student?
Aye.
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 Aye. And
8.1.10.11.
Second.
Student?
Aye.
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 8.1.10.12. 12.
Move to approve.
Second.
Student?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Thank you. Our next item is under governance.
Staff.
No, staff. Staff. Yes, human resources staff report.
Good evening.
Yeah.
Tonight we bring forth our annual working condition survey, although we took a little break there for a few years, as a way of. As a way of kind of taking a yearly temperature check on how things are going for our staff. So we just have this report tonight. It is a kind of a lengthy report. I know you guys have read it, so we'll move through it. But some, this is a survey tool that we've used. It's created by the New Teacher Center called Teaching, Empowering, Leading, and Learning, the TEL survey. We know it is the working condition survey, however. This has been used nationwide in 18 states since 2008, so it has the power of about 1.5 million educators that have been taking and districts using this in that time. So it is an important part of the New Teacher Center's work on retention and supporting teachers, which we do use and look at here, especially with our new teacher project. The purpose of this survey is, you know, how supportive are environments for our teachers, teaching conditions, and then that really matters. We're seeing that really matters for retention, especially. Teaching conditions, oh, I said, matter for retention, and where you sit, everyone has different perceptions on working conditions, so it's important to see it from all sides. So the history here is we started it back in 2010, and we did it for about 3 years. There was a break in giving it, and we started back again in 2017. There are categories to this survey that we'll kind of go over quickly. And we look at each of these. Our schools look at each of these. We look at these with our bargaining units to really understand what's happening. So our response rate, as you can see, stayed even percentage-wise from last year to this year, and has gone up since we began this back in 2013. Our goal is to have 100%. We do give staff meeting time to this, and you know, some of our part-time folks maybe weren't there, or, you know, different things happen, but again, our goal is always to increase that response rate. So the first category is time. And time is something that we all wish, probably sitting at this dais, we have more of. And our teachers definitely would agree with that. So I'm just going to point out kind of one piece of that I thought was a kind of a positive highlight in one area that we're going to continue to work on. It does not mean that there aren't more positives or more areas to work on as well. So teachers felt like they had sufficient time to meet the needs of students. So that we saw a little increase in. And teachers are protected from duties that interfere with the role of educating students. I think, again, it has to do with having time to do the work that is needed to educate the students in their classrooms. Class size is always something that's held low, it remains low, and something that, you know, we'll continue to look at. For facilities and resources, the clean and maintained school environments, we saw a little boost in, which is a shout out to our custodial staffs out there that are working hard. And reliable access to technology, we did see that go down a little bit, and hopefully we'll be seeing that go up with the bond work that we're doing. And I think that also is a reflection of more teachers using technology and Chromebooks, and so needing more technology to, or more resources, bandwidth to keep that up. Community support and involvement. You can see us all very high in the 80s and 90s. So I would just say in general, my take from this is that the staff really appreciates and acknowledges the work that our community is doing to support our schools in many different ways. Oh, and I'm moving mine and not yours. Thank you, Pat. Sorry, why can't you see what's on my little iPad? My apologies. My eyesight is better for me to read it off of here. For managing student conduct, we did see some drops in this area, and I think it's an area that we need to continue to explore and look at. We do get this information per site as well. It'll be interesting for me to look at elementary in general with our PBIS programs, and are we seeing what kind of movement we're seeing in elementary given that initiative. One for schools to grapple with as well when they get their own data to really look at and see kind of what is happening there. The one piece that does stand out to me, the last one, the faculty work in a school environment that is safe, that has been high and remains high. And I think given all that's going on in our world right now, that one really stood out to me personally as I'm glad people are feeling that way. The one that students at the school follow the rules of conduct dropped about 9.9%. So kind of what's behind that? I think that's a good one for us to dive into a little more as we go through kind of tearing this up a little bit. Teacher leadership. Teachers are effective leaders in the school. I think that that's been one that has been high and continues to remain, you know, in the 90s. And effective process to make decisions took a little hit this year, dropped a couple of points. So, and I know decision making is always tricky and takes time, going back to that first category, and process. So that's one I think would be a good one to look at. And teachers having appropriate levels of influence on decision making. And we talked about that just the other day at one of our principal meetings. School leadership. We did see some declines in this area as well, and some that kind of held steady, a drop of point, but you know, teachers are feel like they're being held to high standards, and that has remained the same, and that's very positive. And the one that's a new one that I thought came out that was the school leadership communicates clear expectations to students and parents, and that was nice to see there. Teachers feel comfortable raising issues and concerns. That took a little drop, and that's something that is concerning and something that needs to be looked at again. And one that came out, Casey, I was actually kind of happy to see this one, in a bit, was about teacher evaluation. And why I'm happy to see that, not that I'm happy that it was lower, but that is something that we are ready to roll out here really soon. So hopefully we'll see a tick on that one next year as we roll out a new system, and it will give us a good comparison for next year to see, you know, how our evaluation system is working for our teachers. School leadership sustains effort to address teachers' concerns about the following issues, a little bit all over the board. One that remains low that I know kind of have principals scratching their head a little bit is new teacher support. You know, we have a great new teacher program here at the county that we hear from new teachers is really effective. And I know our principals are out there, so it's one that we haven't broken 80 on anywhere. So that's it's a curious one to me to dig into a little more. School site council, this was a new one that was added to the survey this year, so we don't have any comparative data. We just have from this year, so we'll be able to see kind of where that grows from. Professional development. This is one we've been talking about a lot as well. There's highs and lows in this category for sure. And working on this, and in fact talked about a process at this last principal meeting of teacher input, what our needs are, and we'll use this data in developing that plan of what teachers, what kind of structures, the differentiated, I want to have input, we want to be a part of the planning, and working with our unions on this as well. This was kind of one of those, when we left the ABC school district, thought, you know, professional development is something that we can work on together. So I know principals are planning how to incorporate their staffs in building these plans. Instructional practices. In true Santa Cruz fashion, the lowest one there is about the state assessments, improving teaching.
Yeah.
And again, I think there's some room to grow here for sure. And our local assessments definitely are showing that they're making more of an impact than our state assessments in the classroom. So overall, my school is a good place to work and learn. Took about a 2 or 3% drop, which is 92 is pretty high last year. It did drop to 89 or 90 if you round it. And at the school, we utilize results from the teaching condition survey. I know we do at all of our schools with our leadership teams. I'm not sure if that's communicated out to, you know, to the whole staff in general that, you know, time is spent using and working on this. So our next steps, to review this data with GSCFT leadership. I talked about professional development and determine any other areas of district focus. Review the site data with principals, so that will be going out to folks. And then in turn, principals to report and share this data with skill team and leadership teams to develop a plan as we move forward.
Can I just insert a little bit? The reason why we don't have more of a next steps action plan yet is we extended the timeline for the survey. We had a couple of our schools going through WASC, and they needed their faculty meeting times right up till the end for that purpose, and so they weren't able to administer the survey within the window we had set. So that's why we don't have all of our next steps yet. We've just gotten the data compiled and are going to have an opportunity to sit down with folks and start talking about what it means.
So that's the survey, the working condition survey of the child that we use for certificated staff. We really felt last year we needed something for classified staff as well. And so the kind of the history of that was a committee was composed of representatives from SCCCE leadership and cabinet and our personnel director. And we did the first one in the fall 2016. So this is only our second time giving a classified working condition survey. The areas that we looked at were very similar to certificated with some, you know, tweaks to be more appropriate for the many jobs that encompass under the classified group. So here's, we start out with a little bit of good news. Oops, sorry. A little bit of good news. So we had a, we started out last year, again, first year, with a 35 response rate. We're up to a 46. That's not nearly where we want to go, but it is up more people, and we'll continue to work on how to get more, a better response rate as we move through this. So, time is an issue for all people, regardless of their jobs, and needing more time. I did think the nice one was the district makes effort to streamline processes, communication with colleagues to facilitate efficient practices. That one took quite a big bump up, so that was, it's nice to see that folks are recognizing that. Facilities and resources. Technology went down a little bit as everything else was going up, so I think that's an interesting one. It's helpful in supporting my job requirements, so we need to look at that, make sure folks have the equipment that they need. Managing student conduct, those were both up as well, but still room to definitely improve. Classified leadership, this did came up last time. It was something that we agreed on we would work together. And I know that schools and departments have been adding more decision-making processes to engage classified employee in decision-making. And so we did see that go up, which was encouraging. School and department leadership, same thing. Atmosphere of trust and mutual respect is pervasive in my work environment. Close to 80% of employees reported that. Professional development, again, this was something that was a goal besides decision making. And we did have our beginning day this year of having our folks at professional development. We've also tried to infuse a lot more during the year for people as well. Still room to improve, for sure. But I think we, and it shows there, that looks like we're on at least on the right track. Instructional practices and supports, employees are assigned tasks that maximize their likelihood of success. That's a curious one. To one to look into as well. So overall, my school site department is a good place to work and learn. 94% said that they agree with that. So pleased with that. So next steps are very similar to what we said with the certificated. To review the results with our SCCCE leadership, review goals for professional development and how we continue with that, and other goals and area for focus areas. Like I mentioned, ways to increase participation in the study as well. Principals and department managers to review results with their teams and have goals and focus areas for next year as well. And that ends the report.
Thank you, Molly. Sheila, did you have a question?
It's just a small thing. Like, you have nothing to do, so I thought I would.
I'm bored right now, Sheila.
I just thought it would be great over time, especially since we're picking up with this and we're doing it with Classified too, to have somebody eyeball it from a statistics point of view, because a lot of these scores, where they drop a little bit, I think they're nothing.
Right.
And I would like to know if that's right, because then we're left with actually a small pond of things that we really could concentrate on. But when I see a few, you know, it goes up a few points and down a few points, I think, gee, it was probably the day, you know, the day that it rained, or the day, you know, it could be a million things. And to have a sense of how statistically it falls out would, I think, help us know what to take seriously.
Sure. And that, this should not be that. I mean, we know the total. We know the end. So it should be able to calculate right. that pretty easily.
Right.
It's funny that Sheila should ask that question, because I was thinking about it a little bit in the opposite when I looked at the classified. So my question is, was it given via email, hard copy, or both?
It was just email.
Okay. And then
and text.
And text. And so I just did some quick math, and I was actually very excited to see that in the classified, who are new to having this which I'm very happy that they do and the district's taken on, that when you take 35% of the 2017, that was 43 employees, and you take the 46%, you have 70 employees. So really, you know, the numbers, the percentage points didn't, they don't reflect how what Sheila was speaking to, so I wanted to comment on the positive of that. Because you know, especially for, I think the first thing you pointed out was time. They had to take time to take the survey, so I was really happy about that, so thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Okay. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Wasn't quick enough.
I wasn't quick enough, sorry. I should have asked this ahead of the meeting, but excuse me for not doing that. But the survey process, we see the results as agree or disagree. Well, percentage that agree.
Mm-hmm.
But there were gradations, right? Do you know offhand what the...
It was strongly agree and agree. So it was agree and strongly agree. They were aggregated.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you.
All right. Now we have our governance item, new business resolution.
You're supposed to ask that. No?
Oh. Did Robert, did you want to talk? I'm sorry. Were you coming up?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Do we want our resolution committee to bring this forward?
I'm sorry.
We got lost.
So we were asked by the city council to bring forward a recommendation for support for the measure that they're bringing forward on the ballot in support of a sales tax to support services that are provided to our schools. And there are many services that the city does provide our schools. I think the two most notable and important safety services that I think are critical to our schools are the school resource officers and the crossing guards. The city is facing some of the same challenges that we are with rising employee pension costs. And they're not things that, you know, any of us, you know, could have predicted. We all have to support them, and I think we're in a better place to understand that than most organizations about how that impacts the outgoing budget. I'm personally in support of this resource for the city to ensure that we can provide these services to our students as well as our families. There's so many services that the city provides to our families in terms of safety, public safety, and other services that impact our community. Does the agenda or the resolution committee want to add anything to that?
That's a wonderful summary. Thank you.
Dan, did you have
just that I know, you know, just for clarification, the items that
the city of support. It comes out of the general fund. They don't necessarily have line items for these items, so anything that grows the pot will grow their ability to support. For example, the emergency counseling resources, they had some money left over last year that we were able to use for families that were affected by the raids, the ICE raids, a lot of children affected. And it was they have decided that they were, there's not a line item for, but they want to continue that. So that was an emergency situation that they felt was a good benefit to the community, and so they're continuing to continue that. So this is just general fund money that they do send our way.
Jeremy?
When we go out for a bond, do we ask the city council for
yes.
their support?
They endorsed our parcel taxes and our bond measures.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from the public? No? Okay.
I move approval.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Aye.
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 Sorry?
I would just thank Chris and
everyone
for
coming. Yeah.
Their attention was
Chris
to have
decided
to
vote
for the
job. Yeah. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Record time.
Good job.
Wow.
What time is it?
It's 8:15.
I know.
It's 8:15.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, this is a good one to have short. Yeah, we all needed it.
We did.
And we even asked questions.
I know. It was faster. That's all we're talking about.
Yeah, we started fish. I want to make sure. And they're really cheesy.